Oh my. Oh my. What a game we just got to witness. Oh my gosh, the emotions of that game. This was literally about to be a scorched earth podcast here. We were about to go scorched earth for a second there with how this team was playing. And it's crazy. One swing of the bat just changes absolutely everything. If y'all know, by the way, you know, just the back and forth in baseball, it's why we love it. It's why we love it. But I mean, I surely can't be the only one that watched the first seven innings of that game and was like questioning everything. I mean, this game was awesome in terms of the last two innings, but wow, the first seven were painful. It was a sweet payoff, no doubt. It was a sweet payoff, but oh my gosh, 4-2 victory for the Rangers, by the way. And the Rangers, of course, trailed for most of this game until an epic eighth inning home run blast by Rangers legend Corey Seager to give the Rangers a 3-2 lead. Rangers tack on a run in the ninth inning, and the final score 4-2. Man, these games are special. You got to remember ones like these when you feel like you have no hope, and then you just go from absolutely zero hope to just total elation. You got to love baseball for this. Anyways, guys, before we get too far into this, you all know, especially for those of y'all that have been following us for a while here right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a little bit of an extra emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers on nights like tonight. Man, you cannot beat this. I don't even know where to begin, but let's start with the Corey Seager home run blast, because clearly that's the play of the game today. And there are some other really bright spots I think that we can totally lock in on tonight, but the Corey Seager home run. So first of all, in that at bat, Seags works it to a 3-2 count. So really quality at bat from him overall, but then just delivering in that moment, right, with two outs. And you know what was the craziest thing? What was the craziest thing to me? And I don't know if y'all saw this, but they had Miller warming in the bullpen. I think he was ready to go. Of course, I'm talking about the Oakland A's stud relief pitcher. Miller throws like 104 and has been lights out this entire year. I was absolutely shocked that they did not bring in Miller to face Seager. Why? I have no idea. Maybe it's because Seags is in a little bit of a slump. You're kind of underestimating a little bit. You definitely can get lulled into that when some of these big name players go into these big slumps. Sometimes you can get a little lulled into thinking, let's not bring out Miller for the four-out save. We can get Seags out here. He's not going very well right now. And then, out of nowhere, they become the player that you always knew that they were. And Seags shades a Game 1 World Series against the D-backs, hits an epic blast to put the Rangers ahead. Clutch. Corey Seager is a clutch player. There's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That dude is one of the most clutch baseball players. He did it with the Dodgers in the playoffs. He's done it with the Rangers. Corey Seager, in my opinion, one of the most clutch baseball players right now going. So to see him deliver after really what's been a month plus of really just disappointing baseball. Let's use that word. Let's not go off too much. Disappointing baseball from Seags, not hitting the ball very well. The average clearly not great, 227 right now. But with one swing of the bat, it can all change. And look, I'm not saying Seager's out of the mire right now. He could easily go on a tear like we know Seager can and like we've seen Seager do. But am I proclaiming that the slump is over? I don't know. I'm not going to jinx it. I'm hopeful that this blast gets Seager going in a way that we desperately need him to be going. But nevertheless, you will take what you can get from Seager right now. And this was a big take, a three-run home run when the Rangers were essentially dead in the water. The Rangers were dead in the water tonight. Seven innings, getting shut out by Alex Wood, who had his moment in the sun with the Dodgers, but by all counts, is not any kind of elite pitcher in this game at this moment in time. No disrespect to him, but you look at his numbers over the past few seasons, he's not an elite pitcher. The Rangers, though, have made a little bit of a habit of making mediocre pitchers look elite of late. I will say, for the Rangers and to the Rangers' credit, they were smoking the ball tonight. They were smoking the ball. There was one inning that we had, I forget which one it was, maybe fourth, fifth inning, three outs. It was a 1-2-3 inning. Every single baseball was hit at over 105 miles an hour exit velocity. So the Rangers had some hard hits tonight that just were finding gloves, and it was just one of those frustrating games. I can't say that while I was watching this game, it was like the Rangers just getting dominated at the plate, you know, making, you know, bad decision after bad decision, swinging the bat. The Rangers actually had some pretty good contact tonight, but they just were not finding the grass out there in the outfield. It was like everything they hit was right at somebody and was just finding gloves left and right. So I can't go all in on just saying the Rangers' bats absolutely suck tonight. I don't think that that was the case. I think they got a little unlucky. That being said, when you put up 7-0s the first seven innings, yeah, that's not good. It's not good. And, you know, the Rangers, only 8 strikeouts tonight. I mean, that goes to show you they were putting the ball in play. There were a couple of guys that had multi-strikeouts. Garcia, two strikeouts. Hines, 2 strikeouts. The Rangers were putting the ball in play. The ball just wasn't finding the grass tonight. A lot of hard hit baseballs. Simeon 0 for 5. That dude hit the ball hard multiple times tonight, and it was just right at somebody. So it happens that way in baseball. That's how baseball goes sometimes. But the Rangers should be dominating a team like the A's. Can we just say it? That they should be dominating a team like the A's. I don't care what the A's record is. It's 17-19, by the way. The A's have 3 hitters hitting below 200. And the A's have scored, what, like 8 runs against us in 4 games? This is not a good team. This is not a good team. We should be dominating this team. You look at the names that we have in the lineup, we should be dominating the A's. I'm not saying take them for granted. I'm not saying, you know, that they're complete pushovers, but the Rangers should be handedly winning series against the A's. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I really felt tonight the frustration starting to boil. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, I was about to go scorched earth on this team and on a few Rangers players in particular. I'll still be a little picky and critical here and there, but the win has helped calm me down a little bit. So I'm going to try and give as objective of opinions as I can, if that's even a thing. But one more time, I want to go back to this, and I'm going to go to the comments here. What the heck? We'll go a little out of order right now. I'm shocked that they didn't bring in Miller. That, to me, the A's manager needs to get grilled for that. How do you not bring in Miller for a 4-out save with Corey Seager up? It's almost inexcusable. You had that guy, I forget what the reliever's name was. Let me see if I can pull up his name. You had Urseg in the game, and he's given the bases loaded up, and Seager's up, the Rangers' arguably best hitter when he's going. Why do you not bring in Miller? Why not bring in Mason Miller, the dude that throws 104 and really completely shut down the Rangers in all of his appearances against us? A's manager needs to get grilled for that decision. Terrible decision. Mason Miller for the 4-out save is a no-brainer. But hey, thank you very much. We'll take it. We will take it. Oh my goodness. Bombi, man, I'll tell you what. Let me go to this. He seems like he's probably dealing with some kind of injury to me. I mean, look, Obombi is not the kind of guy that is, you know, Evan Carter style, out of the box, just Mr. Hustle running down everything. So let's be real about it. That's not Adolis Garcia's game, is just all out every single play, in my opinion. I'm not knocking the guy. That's just what I've observed. But it does seem like, if you didn't know any better, that he's kind of loafing out there right now. Like that ball that went in between Taveras and Doley today. Look, I blame Leody. Leody could have caught that ball. There was miscommunication. I blame Leody for the ball that fell in between them. The center fielder's job is to take control out there, command the outfield. Leody, with his speed, could easily catch that ball, but he gets a little tentative. Garcia and him aren't talking. But Doley was kind of loafing on that play, kind of on a few, you know, ground balls that he's hit, not really running hard. I got to think, and I'm just trying to give him some credit here, I got to think that Doley is dealing with some kind of injury right now. I'm not saying it is like profound or anything major, but I just have to think that there's something ailing him right now. I can't really think of anything else as to why he's kind of been loafing around the past couple of games, tracking fly balls. You know, there was a ball yesterday I kind of took note of against Kansas City. He kind of let one drop like 2 or 3 feet in front of him. It was on a foul ball. It landed probably 3 or 4 feet to the right of the right field foul line. And Doley kind of let it drop right in front of him. It's like, dude, why aren't you laying out, man? I have to think, just trying to give some benefit of the doubt that something is ailing him right now. And who knows, maybe it'll come out at some point, maybe it won't. Credit to him if that's the case for playing through injuries, playing through things. But that's about the only thing I can think of for Adolis Garcia, why he's kind of been loafing around a little bit of late, you know, air quotes on loafing. You know, if you're dealing with an injury, clearly he's gutting it out and giving you the best he can. So this isn't intended by any means as a slight at Garcia. The dude's out there probably playing a little bit hurt, and he's still giving you quality at bats. No, he's not dominating right now, but he's out there gutting it out, giving you good play for the most part. So that's my only thought on Doley. I really think there might be something going on there. He's just gutting it out right now, and credit to him. Because we all know that there's some baseball players out there that get the littlest injury, and they need to take a week off or go on the injured list. And then there's those grinders like Simeon, and in my opinion, like Adolis Garcia, that are out there as much as possible, giving you everything they have. So I don't think it's probably a whole lot else besides maybe there's something nagging him. A little injury, who knows? But let's keep going on the comments here. I'm just trying to catch up a little bit. Let me go to this. Zeke Duran. Man, the game started off so well with that nice diving play that he made coming in on a baseball. Of course, then he gets up, fires home. With a little bit more accurate throw, he might double up there to avoid the A scoring that first run. But it just kind of went downhill from there with Zeke. So first of all, the dropped fly ball in left field. And look, I know Zeke hasn't played a ton of outfield for the Rangers. Yes, he's gotten some time there, but Zeke has not gotten a ton of outfield time for the Rangers. So to me, it's not shocking to see him drop a fly ball, make an error. It's not a shock, but I don't love it. But let's be real. Zeke probably isn't even playing if there isn't a lefty starter tonight. To be real, I'd rather just see Jankowski out there. There is not that big of a difference between Jankowski's bat and Zeke's bat when there's a lefty on the mound. I'm not convinced. How much are you really dropping off from Jankowski against the lefty to Zeke? I mean, for me, I don't think it's a big enough drop-off to justify having that worse of defense. Because we all know that El Blondie's not dropping that baseball out in left field. He's not. He is not. Travis Jankowski is not dropping baseballs. I would rather Travis Jankowski play every day than go back and forth with him and Zeke. I already think that Travis Jankowski needs to be splitting time with Leody. I've said that pretty much this entire season. Jankowski needs to be splitting time with Leody. And let's talk about Leody. Because before we won the game tonight, I think I was just about ready for Leody to get sent down to AAA or DFA'd. I will say this about Leody, and I think this is being kind. Leody Taveras has tons of potential. He was our number one prospect for years. Leody has tons of potential. Let's make no mistake about it. That guy could be, I don't want to say elite, but he could be a very, very good baseball player. But there's something there. I don't know what it is. I don't know why we're consistently having these brain cramps out in the outfield with fly balls, on the base pass, getting picked off, ridiculously picked off, multiple times this year. Like I said, probably a week or two ago, the guy has to be leading the league in getting picked off. And I'm not talking about caught stealings. I'm talking about just straight up getting picked off without even a dive back. Probably 2 or 3 times. I mean, y'all correct me. 2 or 3 times this year, Leody has gotten picked off without even a dive back. It's that ridiculous of a pickoff. So for me, Leody, I can't see him being the 2025 center fielder. I can't. And look, I know Leody has a little 9-game on base streak going, so let's give him some props. He's got the 9-game on base streak, but the last 30 games, the OBP is still below 300. Let's bring that back down to earth. Let's put it in perspective. Great, 9-game on base streak. Your OBP is still below 300. In your past 30 games. So yes, I totally agree. Leody has had good moments at the plate over the last 2 weeks. still a 292 OBP in your last 30 games. So, look, I will take lesser at the plate if you just give me solid on the base pass and out in the field. Like, seriously, like I said, Jankowski, I know what I'm getting from him. He's going to give me a quality at bat almost every time. What's a quality at bat? He's not going to look completely foolish 9 times out of 10. And you know that he is going to not make errors out in the outfield. Jankowski catches every single one of those fly balls tonight. He catches the one in between Doley and Leody that dropped. He catches the one back on the track that Leody totally bumbled. So for me, I'll take Travis Jankowski's maybe slightly lesser potential at the plate. Because I think Leody, if we're just being objective, he has more potential than Jankowski at the plate. Potential. Right? We're not talking about actual production, just potential. Leody has more potential at the plate than Jankowski. There's more pop there. There's more speed on the base pass. Although Jankowski's got some wheels, the intangibles, though, I favor Jankowski. The mental side of the game is such a huge thing in baseball. 100% mental. The physical stuff comes after that. I just want to see Jankowski get more time. I thought hook, line, sinker, that dude is going to be in the lineup every single day now that Wyatt Langford's out. I thought that that was like a foregone conclusion. And I know there was a lefty starter tonight, so it kind of makes sense why he wasn't. But I need Janko in the starting lineup most days. 6 out of 7 days, I need him in the lineup, even if there's a lefty. Give me his solid defense. Give me a slightly lesser bat. I don't even think the drop-off is that big, just for the record. Give me a slightly lesser bat in Jankowski. Just give me quality decisions out in the field, on the base pass, and up at the plate as well. So look, Leody, I think his days are numbered as a starter in this lineup with the plethora of options that the Rangers have, both right now, but also in the minor leagues. The Rangers have several quality minor league outfielders that are coming up through the system. I think Leody's days are numbered. I think that they should have traded Leody in the offseason. I don't know why they felt like they needed to stick with him. He is a decent baseball player. He's got a lot of potential. I think the Rangers could have traded Leody in the offseason for some good, maybe solid bullpen help, maybe another bat in the minor league, something like that. I mean, I don't know. Look, I'm just going off the cuff here. But my point is they could have gotten something for Leody, and you could have just had anybody else play the outfield. Evan Carter could be the starting center fielder right now. Evan Carter logged hundreds of innings in center field down in the minors. That dude is the third fastest player in MLB. Do you really think that he couldn't handle playing center field? Evan Carter could play just as good of a center field as Leody. In fact, I think he could play a better center field than Leody. Eventually, it's going to be Doley, Carter, Langford in that order from right field to left field. Eventually, it's going to be that. We're not there quite yet for whatever reason. Injuries, of course. But we need this to be the last year, though. I mean, with Leody in center, there's no reason to not give Derek Hill an up. Right on cue. Great minds think alike, bro. Right on cue. There's no reason to give a guy like Derek Hill a shot. We've seen what we're going to get from Leody. Leody's not suddenly going to become a 25 home run guy. Let somebody else have a shot. The drop-off is not going to be that much. And in fact, if you can just get a dude that can play center field well, Leody, in my opinion, it's way too fickle. It's way too up and down. I just want a guy that plays center field well and catches everything that's catchable out there. That's not too much to ask for a starting major league center fielder. So I think this needs to be the last year with Leody. I don't know why you wouldn't give somebody else an opportunity at this point. I agree. The Rangers have options. The Rangers have options in the minor leagues. They have a great team right now. Some guys are injured up at the major league level. But there's no reason to be giving Leody an everyday at bat at this point. Minimum, just platoon him. I said at the beginning of the year, we looked at the splits. Leody against lefties hit over 300 last year. Leody against righties hit like sub 250. Leody could easily be, hey, against righties, you're out. Because you hit like 225 last year against righties. But hey, against lefties, we'll give you some starts. You actually hit over 300 against lefties last year. And that blew my mind when I looked at it before the year. But Leody hit like 315 against left-handed starters last year. Had to dig deep in baseball reference for that one, y'all. But I'm all for that. And I don't know why the Rangers haven't gone to that. Look, the 9-game on base streak is not going to help me out with any potential changes. I'm sure if anything, it's just reiterating in all their minds that he needs to continue to be out there. That being said, look, I'm reading into body language here, but I'm watching Bochy walk out to take that ball away from Heaney. I know the bullpen's out there too, but it just kind of seemed like, I don't know if y'all caught this, kind of seemed like Boch was staring out in that center field a little bit like, what is going on out there? Like, put a tent on that circus, dude. That's been like, that's the third or fourth fly ball out there to center field going back on the track that Leody has just totally muffed. And you just wonder if they're ever going to get tired of it. Okay, Leody rant over. We got to focus on some positives because this was a great win tonight. This was a great win, okay? So let's try and keep things positive from now on. It's so easy to get negative, especially with how the Rangers' offense has looked of late. But a three-run bomb by Corey Seager in the eighth inning just makes it all a little bit better, doesn't it? So let's go up and down the box score a little bit here. Let's go up and down and let's just see what we got. Nate Lowe goes 1-for-3 with a walk. That dude is in a perfect place, hitting 3-hole. Like I said, he should be. Get Evan Carter, get Wyatt Langford back a little bit in the order, take some pressure off of them. Get a veteran guy like Nate Lowe up in the 3 spot, hitting 309, got on base twice today. Love what I'm seeing from Nate Lowe. Hottest Rangers hitter right now, I would say, at this point. Dolley goes 0-for. Heim goes 1-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. Duran 0-for-2. Again, we talked about Duran already. You know, Zeke is, I think, a nice super utility guy. Good to have the depth, but just not a guy that I want to see getting a ton of at-bats over other guys at this point. We know what we can get for Zeke. Really surprised the Rangers didn't trade Zeke at the deadline last year. I think they could have got a lot for him. You remember last year, Zeke started out on fire. Zeke was killing it at the beginning of the 2023 season. And I feel like you kind of had your sell high moment with him and you lost it. You had a really primo opportunity with Zeke at the beginning of last year before the trade deadline. He was hitting like over 300, hitting bombs, and you had a beautiful sell high opportunity. And I feel like the Rangers just missed it. And I'd love to hear the rationale. I don't know. I'm sure somebody has asked Chris Young at some point why hold on to him. Maybe they haven't. I mean, I don't know. But I'd love to ask Chris Young, hey, what was the mentality? Like, you know, nobody getting like their feelings hurt or anything, but like, hey, what was the mentality not trading Zeke at the deadline when the dude was on fire hitting over 300 and you kind of knew like he wasn't going to be a starting player? I don't think any of us thought, hey, Zeke is going to be in the starting lineup all the way through the end of the season into October. So look, Zeke getting an opportunity today didn't pan out for him. 0-for-2. Evan Carter gets subbed in when the right-handed relief pitcher comes on. Carter goes 0-for-1 with a walk today and a run scored. Good to see him get on in that ninth inning. That insurance run was huge. That Carter insurance run that he scored on the walk, moving from first to third on the Josh Smith hit, beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. Josh Smith coming in, by the way, too. My dad and I were actually talking about Josh Smith, and like right on cue, the dude comes in, gets a walk, and then comes up again like an inning later, gets a hit. And I quipped like, dude, Josh Smith's been on base like more than any other Ranger, and he's only been in one inning. but that's Josh Smith for you. That's the kind of year he's having. He's just having an outstanding year. I'm so happy for that dude. Average up to 300 on the year. Josh Smith is just giving you a ton of quality right now, and I am so thankful that he stepped up and been the player that he's been in Josh Young's absence. It's been a lifesaver for the team. It really has been. And I've noticed that Josh Smith has been getting a few more starts against lefties. I think that's great. I think that some of these guys, I know analytics, data, stats, splits, guys hitting against lefties versus righties. I think it's easy to kind of get in your head a little bit when you see those numbers. I do think that Bochy is one of those coaches that looks at the numbers, takes them in, but then ultimately goes with the feel. In fact, that's what I think makes Bochy so great, is he's not just this analytics-driven coach. He's one of those old-school coaches that's adapting to the analytics, but ultimately still makes those gut feel decisions. It's why the Rangers, a big reason why they won the World Series last year, the coaching of Bruce Bochy. I'll throw in Mike Maddox into the mix. And a lot of the coaches on the Rangers staff are very quality, very good coaches. Coaching makes a difference. But look, going back to my point with the lineup, I think that the Rangers could do a little bit less mixing and matching. Like, I think they're overthinking the Duran at-bats. Just give Josh Smith the at-bats. Let him hit against lefties. You're not getting that much more production out of Zeke than Josh Smith. And with how Josh Smith is going, then let's just let the man eat. Like I said a couple of days ago, just let the man eat. He's doing great right now. He's having quality at-bats up there. He doesn't look like, even against lefties, he doesn't look lost. Doesn't look lost at all. Just let him hit. And maybe it was just Josh Smith off day, right? Maybe just kind of a routine maintenance day for him. Hey, we'll give him a breather. Alex Wood up, lefty for the A's. But look, I'd like to see Josh Smith against lefties every day, if at all possible. Right now, forget the Duran at-bats. Just let Josh Smith hit. If you want to bring Zeke in because a dude is just struggling all game long and you happen to get a favorable matchup, I could see it. But at this point, no need to bench Josh Smith against lefties. I kind of feel the same way about Evan Carter, although I must say Carter looks a little more lost than Josh Smith does against the lefties. I still say a 21, 22-year-old kid, just let them play every day, especially when they're supposedly your top prospect. I'm just not in love with making Evan Carter your top prospect, a platoon player. I just don't love that. Let guys like him play every day and figure it out. Let them make adjustments. Yeah, if you notice they're in like an 0-for-30 skid against lefty, sure. But I'd like to see Evan Carter just get to play every day. I think he's a little too in and out of the lineup personally. I do think that messes with some guys. Some guys can handle it. Hey, yeah, you're going to be getting 4 at-bats one day and 1 at-bat the next day. Some guys can handle it fine. Maybe Evan Carter's going to be just fine with this system they have for him. But personally, just being selfish, I'd like to see him play every day. I really would. Yes, Aaron, I'm seeing your comment right now. But yeah, I know CY does allow Bochy to do a lot and have a lot of freedom. And I think that's what makes the relationship a great one. Because we all know there's a lot of front offices in baseball right now that micromanage their managers. And I think that that is such a plague for a team's success. I think you've got to let the manager feel things out, give the manager all the information that they need, but let them feel out the game and make the decisions that are best in those moments, not just use a piece of paper with numbers on it. I think that more front offices could look at what the Rangers did, giving an old school manager like Bochy, and look, not all old school managers are awesome, but a guy like Bochy, who obviously has been coaching for a long, long time, since the late 90s, right? And he's open to the analytics and the data, but he's not married to them. I think that's a perfect combination. And of course, he and CY have a good connection as well from their days back in San Diego. It's just a really good tandem. It's a really great tandem. I think one of the best in baseball, if not the best. Now, continuing on down the lineup, Wenzel gets some time at third base tonight, 0-for-2. Down to 105. I got to think that Wenzel's days with the big league club are probably numbered. I know he had a feel-good moment hitting that first major league bomb. What was it, a week and a half ago? But I got to think Wenzel's time with the Rangers, at least on the big league club, right? Probably numbered. You're just not getting a lot out of him right now. And he's gotten some opportunities. Granted, they're spotty, but he's gotten some opportunities to prove what he can do. And he has really struggled up there at the plate. So I can't see Wenzel sticking around too much longer. In fact, I don't really know why you need him at this point if you've got Duran. I mean, that's just my two cents. I think you got Duran, you've got Smith. Those guys can play short or third base if Seager needs a day off. I don't really see the benefit of having Wenzel versus somebody else. I'd rather call up Hill, like we talked about earlier. I'd rather call him up at this point. I mean, I'd rather call up Derek Hill and give him a shot. I think we've seen enough from Wenzel at this point. I'd like to see somebody else get an opportunity. Kisner goes 0-for-2. Eventually, he came out. Jankowski came on. Jankowski goes 0-for-2. And then Tavares, talked about him already, goes 1-for-2 with a walk. He also had 2 walks today. So Leody on base a lot today. So got to give him credit there. But for me, I'll take less of the offensive production for just more sound decision-making out in the field and on the base pass, just doing the little things right. When you're a bottom of the order hitter, you got to do the little things right. It's like 100% must. Your bottom of the order guys have to be those guys that are absolutely 100 when it comes to the mental side of the game. And I just don't think Leody is that kind of guy. I hope that he proves me wrong and goes on like this crazy tear where suddenly we look up and at the end of May, he's hitting close to 300. I surely hope that happens. I will be 100% happy to see people flooding the comments of my page telling me how wrong I was about Leody. There are some very like staunch Leody defenders out there. I know that there are some fans out there, Rangers fans, that just no matter what happens, you love everybody. And I can actually really respect that. There are some people that just really have that mentality. Doesn't matter how bad somebody's doing, I support them. I'm always going to be positive. I actually really do respect that mentality. Look, here at Ride On Rangers, guys, just being real, we're here to give you the honest takes. We're going to try and be glass half full always, but we're here to give you honest takes. We're not here trying to, you know, blow wind up anybody's skirt or anything like that. We're just trying to give honest takes, not be overly critical, but give you what we're seeing, right? And I think people that know the game of baseball well see what a lot of us are seeing when it comes to Leody. The potential's there. Just got to put it all together. Let's go to the bullpen. My goodness, this bullpen just keeps on firing zeros. At zeros again tonight. Leclerc, Robertson, Yates, zeros. 7, 8, 9. I think that's the dream, is it not? Leclerc in the 7th, Robertson 8th, Yates in the 9th. I actually said that today. I was interacting on one of my favorite Facebook groups, Texas Rangers Fans Only. And, you know, we were talking about the bullpen. And I said, look, when it comes to October, you really just need Leclerc, Robertson, Yates, and then you're going to have other guys from the starting rotation come into the bullpen in October, like what happened last year. You had Heaney go to the pen. You had Dunning go to the pen, right? You also had other guys go to the pen like Bradford. Bradford made some spot starts, but he was in the pen a lot. You're going to have some guys in the starting rotation, maybe John Gray, go to the pen. It depends on what the starting pitching is doing and how healthy we are. But you really just need Leclerc, Robertson, Yates, and probably a guy like John Gray, Dane Dunning, Andrew Heaney, Cody Bradford. I don't think you need a whole lot else. Maybe you throw Lats in there for some high leverage situations. But I think at this point, let me ask you this. I think it's a good question, if I do say so myself. Would you rather have Heaney or Lats in a big spot late in the ball game in October? I'm taking Heaney right now. I'm not taking Lats over Heaney in a big moment in October, lefty on lefty. Give me Heaney right now with how he's throwing. I like what Heaney's been doing of late. Yes, Heaney can be streaky, but as of right now, give me Andrew Heaney in a big moment in October when I need an out against a big left-handed bat like Yordan Alvarez. I'll take Heaney. I don't want Lats in there against Yordan in October over Heaney. Just my opinion. Of course, that's what I'm always giving here, right? Just my opinion. Look, I think that the Rangers bullpen is going to be just fine. It's easy to look at bullpen stats as a whole. So I always put it in perspective. Like, we can look at the Rangers bullpen. Oh, it's above a 4 ERA. Well, yeah, but how are the guys that actually matter pitching? And the guys that actually matter when you're needing to close games out are doing really, really well, right? Yates, Robertson, Leclerc, I think of late has been pitching really well. I was joking the other night, he lowered his ERA to 6. This was like a night or two ago. He lowered his ERA to 5.14 today. So look, the numbers don't look great, but Leclerc has been pitching well of late. Couldn't quite get the clean inning tonight, one walk. But look, overall 2 strikeouts, Leclerc looked very, very good. So I'm always a little hesitant to comment too much when we look at the entire bullpen's ERA as a whole. I mean, it's interesting. I love stats and I love the data and all that. But trust me, right? I think most baseball fans, true baseball fans do. A lot of us grew up with the baseball cards and all that good stuff. Like, I love stats. But I just think when you look at the Rangers bullpen as a whole, judge them based on what they've done with a lead. And when the Rangers have a lead, they have been pretty much lights out. It's when the Rangers are down 1, down 2, that sometimes things have gone awry. And that is concerning, right? If you have a 2-run game, you're down 2, you need guys that can keep you in the game. But I will say, isn't that what happened yesterday? Andrew Heaney pitched very well. Robertson came in, pitched very well. Yates came in, held the lead, pitched very well. So look, I think that the Rangers are going to be just fine bullpen-wise. Don't worry about the 4 ERA collectively. They've had a few guys get lit up. Yuri Rodriguez got really badly lit up his first several games this season. I mean, I know that Yuri Rodriguez is back up with the big league club, but I mean, just take those things into consideration. There was a stretch, if y'all remember, at the beginning of this season, there was a stretch where the only guys in the bullpen who had given up runs, this was like the first 10 days of the season, the only guys that had given up runs in the bullpen were Gary Rodriguez and Jose Leclerc, and they had each given up like six apiece. Everybody else was firing zeros. So just take it all and put it all in perspective when you're looking at the bullpen numbers. The guys that matter and the guys that will matter in October are pitching great. So I'm not worried at all about how this pen is doing. Could they stand to add a little bit of depth? Yeah, but I think they're going to get it when some of these starting pitchers come back, like Scherzer and Molly and Bradford and DeGrom. They're going to get it. I mean, kind of like addition by subtraction, right? I mean, you're going to subtract from the starting rotation and you're going to add to the bullpen. That's the idea. So Rangers bullpen, what can you say about them? The problem with the Rangers has been hitting. Can we get this offense going? Can we score in more than a couple innings at the end of the games? Look, I'll take the win. We're not going to complain about a win, but can we just make it easy? Like tomorrow, can we just come out and have a 4-5-0 lead? I would love to see that. Would love to see it. Speaking of tomorrow, let's start heading that way. So we've got a 2:37 Texas time start tomorrow, 3:37 Eastern time. So looks like that game will be going on kind of in the middle of my work day, unfortunately. But you know how it is. I'll keep my eye on it a little bit here and there. But we will probably have to go live maybe a little bit after the game time, maybe a little bit later on in the evening. I think we'll probably wait. Most people I know, afternoon, still coming home from work. I think we'll probably wait, even though the game is probably going to get over a little bit earlier than usual. We'll go on not quite this late, but we'll go on maybe around normal finishing time, like maybe around 9 o'clock or so Texas time, something like that, maybe a little earlier. We'll see. But we play at 2:37, and then Urania getting the start tomorrow. There you go. Good moment for him. Maybe he'll have a nice little outing. And Stripling is going to be throwing for the A's. Of course, Ross Stripling, 1-5 this year, 4.24 ERA. He had some good seasons with the Dodgers and with a couple other teams, but this year, I think his last several starts have been pretty good. His last start against Pittsburgh, 6 innings pitched, no earned runs. Baltimore, he went 5 2/3, 2 earned runs. Cleveland, he went 5 innings, 3 earned runs. So Stripling, even though he has 5 losses, he's actually looked pretty good in his last 3 starts. Not the best news for a Rangers lineup that's struggling right now, but you never know. You never know how it goes with baseball. Stripling pitching great. Maybe tomorrow's an off day for him and the Rangers batch just gets super hot. That is what I'm hoping for sure, for sure. Let's look at the matchups with the players and let's kind of see if we've got guys with a number of at-bats against these two pitchers. So let's start with Stripling against the Rangers. So Jankowski has the most at-bats, and he, I think, only has 1 hit. I think he's 1-for-13 against Stripling. Maybe tomorrow's not the day we see Jankowski with those career numbers against Stripling, batting a robust 0.77. Jeez, not good. But who knows? Maybe he'll still get the start anyways. Maybe it's about his time. You could say he's due. Jonah Heim hitting 2-for-5. Let's see. Garcia, 2-for-4. Duran, 1-for-2. I don't think we'll see Duran tomorrow. Carter, 1-for-3. Nate Lowe, 1-for-3 with a bomb, or 2-for-3, excuse me, with a bomb off Stripling in his career. Leody's got a home run off Stripling. Leody hitting 3-for-8 in his career. So, look, we actually have some guys with some good numbers against Stripling. So, tomorrow, I don't think it's ridiculous to expect the Rangers to possibly do some damage. Now, what does that mean? 10 runs? I don't know. That might be a little too much to ask for. I'll take 6 or 7, though. Give me a nice 6 or 7 run game tomorrow, please. Right, no more of these 0 runs through 7 innings games. Goodness. All right, on the other side, Urania. He has not really faced the A's lineup very often. A few moments he did in our first series. So there's some guys with like 3 at-bats off of him. Nobody really hit him very well except Davis, the third baseman. 2-for-3 off of him, and then Brown, the left fielder, has a base hit off of him, but really only 2 hits in probably close to 15 at-bats, so the A's did not hit Urania very well the first time around in our 3-game series with the A's at home earlier this year, so we'll see. might be one of those 50-50 games, as we say, with Urania going his first start of the year. Excited for him, though. Obviously, Urania's been a starter in this league for a long time. Hopefully, he'll have a good quality outing. I'm going to say, can he give us 4 or 5 tomorrow? Give us 4 or 5 quality innings, 1 or 2 runs allowed. I think I'll take that out of Urania tomorrow. How about 5 innings pitched, 2 runs? I think that's a great, outstanding goal for him in a spot start tomorrow. We'll see if we get it. Little surprised Leiter isn't up. Maybe that's still the plan for the doubleheader that's going to be on Wednesday. I don't know. I don't know if y'all have heard anything about that. I haven't heard anything. I heard some rumors that maybe Leiter would be pitching in one of those doubleheader games, but a little surprised Leiter is not making an appearance, especially with the injury to Evo, but I'm sure they have their reasons. Beyond that, let's go around the AL West, shall we? Let's take a look and see what some of the other teams in our division did tonight. So obviously the win against the A's is pretty big because the A's were literally right behind us by like a game and a half. So nice to get a little separation from them. Angels lost tonight to the Pirates 4-1 in Pittsburgh. Angels dropped to 12-22 on the year. We've also got, looks like, is that it? Man, everybody else off day on a Monday, huh? Okay. Oh, Mariners lost to the Twins. Oof. All right. Man, that the night just got even better. So I believe your Texas Rangers have now reclaimed first place in the AL West. That's what's up. It's a good feeling. Back to first place we go. And as we look at the standings for the AL West, we are half game up on the Mariners, obviously. 3 games up on Oakland, 7 up on Houston, 7.5 up on the Angels. Houston going to go play the Yankees in the Bronx the next few games. Hopefully the Yankees beat up on them a little bit. One of the only times we'll be cheering for the Yankees against the Astros. Please give us a little sweep. The Mariners play the Twins. The Twins have been hot of late. The winning streak they had, 12 games, just came to an end. But the Twins have been very hot of late. Hopefully they can beat up on the Mariners. Like I told y'all, I think it was yesterday, this is a big week for the Rangers. You have got to beat up on the A's and the Rockies this week. No excuses, because we looked at the schedule and the Mariners and the Astros are both playing some good competition this week. So can we beat up on the A's and can we beat up on the Rockies before we go play a very good Cleveland Guardians team back at home a week from today? A week from today, we play the Guardians. The Guardians are atop of the AL Central, 23-12 right now. I think the Rangers have to take advantage of these matchups against two, I would say for sure, inferior opponents. So tomorrow, we'll be back at you with a video early on. We'll put out a reel updating y'all on the system, betting 1 cent for every follower that we have on Texas Rangers Moneyline. We got even more cushion tonight. I think we are up something like $70-ish on the season, between 60 and 70. So look, hopefully we can create some more distance with this A series. That is the plan. Of course, I know I updated some of y'all. We started with Facebook followers in this challenge that we're doing. We added in the TikTok followers. So as I always say, please share this with a Rangers fan. Share with a Rangers fan. Get them following the page. Get them following the account. Let's keep having some fun with this challenge, shall we? Y'all know how much I appreciate your support. Thank you for tuning in or watching it later. I know y'all are busy. You got a lot of options out there. But thanks for being with us here to talk about a thrilling Rangers 4-2 victory over the Oakland A's tonight in Oakland. We'll be back at y'all tomorrow. Thank you so much again. And as we always say, God bless and go Rangers. Have a good night, y'all.